Drage poslušalke in poslušalci, v današnjem subjektu meseca gostimo Omarija Bajuna, tanzanijskega pesnika, pisatelja in aktivista. Odraščal je v Dar es Salaamu, kjer je nekaj let nazaj ustvaril tudi svojo grassroot organizacijo Gendar. Je kvir posameznik, ki se vsak dan bori za izboljšanje situacije svoje skupnosti. Njegova organizacija Gendar pa pomaga marginaliziranim skupinam po celotni državi s fokusom na spolne manjšine. Omari Bajun je bil ravno kar nominiran tudi se strani Tanzania Emerging Youth Awards in sicer za nagrado Youth Advocate in Human Rights. Hello, Bajun.
Hello, Anya.
Hi. Okay, so today we will be discussing your communities and the activist experience of living in a country that is often viewed as one of the more peaceful ones in Africa, especially in the eyes of us Westerners. You are a queer activist that has seen and experienced that it is clear that peace is not the case at all. As you point out often, it is really far from that, not just in the light of recent protests, but also generally, especially for marginalized communities or anyone who is willing to have their own loud and public opinion about the issues in your country. And the result of all of this is, in a way, also the protests that happened during election week. So, Bajun, how are you being treated as a queer activist in Tanzania? Like, what obstacles do you face and how do you overcome them? And how does that go in line with you being a published poet and also writer?
Thank you, Anna, for the good question. How being queer, how being activist, sorry, in this context where we are published as a country with peace and all that, but in the meantime, there is a lot happening from the ground, which maybe the mainstream media do not know about this. And bad enough in a country where now even the local media cannot even speak out anymore, it's all silenced. So being an activist in this environment where even the local media cannot speak out anymore about the struggles, about the movements, about the justice, is really hard to survive. And not only being an activist, but also being a queer activist is more even dangerous. We have been seeing people facing abductions and even detention in recent days. Currently, we're speaking today, right now, I'm speaking with you, the president of the Law Lawyers Society, which is a very, very reputable organization in the country, and which is very big organization in the country, standing and advocating for the human rights and the law of the country, has been summoned in the police station. So you can see the situation for the activists, include me and others, is very dangerous by the time, not only because we are activists, but even because we are queer, it comes like a doubleization of the victimization and the danger.
You then tell me, like, in the light of all of this that you just talked about, more about how and where exactly, in the context of Dar es Salaam and its many different areas, the protests started? So you are currently in Zanzibar, but of course you are connected with the mainland, so you knew what was happening. So maybe if you could just talk about the specific areas and how it all started from your perspective.
Okay, so the protest began in Ubungo, Mbezi, Ubungo. You have been in Kimara before, so from Mbezi, Kimara, the protest began from there and it became wider at Ubungo, where I was living before I fled to Zanzibar. Then from there, many people mobilized each other from Ubungo, and it widespread to Kariakoo, to Magomeni, to Temeke, Mbagala, and even other cities outside Dar es Salaam. We have witnessed more protests and killings in Arusha, Mbeya, Mwanza, Dodoma, which some of my queer activists in Dodoma have been affected by the protests, and they were part of the protests itself. So it's many, many regions around the country, but Dar es Salaam was more even bigger
Okay. And how was the general like vibe a few days before the protests started? Like, were you involved in any plans with other activists? Like, did you and your community even expect this to happen, right? So was this a culmination of many NGOs, activist groups, and then of course the opposition, or did it just happen suddenly out of anger of suspicious results of the election?
I'm telling this, Anya, from the honest side of this conversation, that this protest has begun not by the intention or by the plans of the few organizations, maybe human rights organization, no, but from the real people, from the citizens who are going with a lot of struggle for their living, for, you know, a lot of things which they don't get from the government as you know, basic human rights. So it was very different, unexpected, and it was the first time having this in the country, because every citizen participated in the protest, and we have witnessed as a lead of the Gen Z. And from this, every Gen Z was on the road by the day. So before even 29th of October, which was the protest day, there were a lot of Gen Z campaigns, online campaigns from TikTok. And I was participating on that. I think everybody participated on that. So it was really like amplifying the voices and, you know, spiriting the voices about tomorrow, the 28th. And it went mad on 28th, 29th, up to 1st to 3rd November, which at least the country, you know, they managed to silence people after a lot of killings and all that. But the day before 29th, it was really crazy from the social media, the TikTok, the Gen Z people, every person from their class, I mean, the low class, every person was on fire to make sure the protests are happening, peacefully protests are happening, you see. So that's what happened in before and after, before, during, and after the protest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why do you think young people, such as Gen Zers specifically in this context, decided to protest now and never before? I mean, Tanzania has had protest actions, but not in this scale ever in the history. So maybe if you could talk about that.
I think most of the people, especially Gen Z, wanted reforms, constitutional reforms, because, you know, this happened even more wider, because at the first time when we queer people were asking for reforms, they were looking at us differently. Maybe you're asking for reforms because you are queer people. So they were not even feeling that need of asking for reforms. But now where the country has reached is every person is being touched with this oppression, with this political corruption and all this. The life has become even more harder to Gen Z and young people. No employment, a lot, even the basic human, community service is not available in the country, in the cities, in the rural, everywhere. So there were a lot of demands and a lot of needs that young people in Gen Z wanted to present, but the government doesn't listen to them. And now both queer people and the ordinary people, the Gen Z, the elders, and every citizen showed solidarity to organize a protest together to seek for constitutional reforms.
Mm-hmm. And how were marginalized communities, such as queer people, the homeless, you were mentioning, you know, people who are severely disadvantaged because of because they are poor, they don't have anything to eat. Like, how are these communities, so marginalized communities and other disadvantaged individuals affected after the use of force of your government? Like, did they even protest or knew that they have to, like, in some way hide inside, like some of our fellow queer activists who did hide inside, for example?
Actually, the effects began from how were they affected began even the day of the protest itself. You know, apart from the 1,000 killings, more than 10,000 people being killed and massacred during this protest, there were a lot of bans that you don't need to go outside the house, you know. So some people were losing some groceries, include some of our queer individuals, Vasco and others, I was calling them and saying that we don't have groceries by the time because it's all like blackout and it's total shutdown that everybody must stay inside, you see. And this is after the protest, but even the day of the protest itself, it was the massacres because a lot of people died, the families lost their beloved ones, and it's all about that. So destruction, we had a lot of destruction in the city. We have lots of, you know, we have a lot of destruction. And the day after, days after the protest, it was all this internet shutdown, like people get inside with no groceries, no access to services, necessary services like hospitals. There were no even access to hospitals, you know, shops and markets and all. So it was crazy, like for people from the low class and queer and marginalized, it was really hard for them to go outside, access the services, you know, and to get there and to find their basic needs and all that.
Mm-hmm. And what was the feeling of Dar es Salaam and the country in general with police and army everywhere, you know, shooting people during the protests? Like, this has never happened before on this scale. Do you have like any personal or other estimation about how many people do you think were actually killed and then also injured? Because the opposition says around 1,000, most media estimate 700, and then for Dar es Salaam they said 350 people.
So anyway, what I can say is there is a lot of big number of people who got disappeared right now. Their bodies are detained. Some bodies are just disappeared. I mean, the dead bodies. So the 700 confirmed by the UN, the United Nations, and the 1,000 number confirmed by the opposition is not even half of how many people have been disappeared. Deadly disappeared. So we can count today. I have read some report which has been sent, a letter has been sent to Vatican. It says it's more than 10,000 people totally, include those who disappeared, deadly and disappeared, and all those who have been found dead. So it's the number, it counts even to more than 10,000 according to the report, and the letter went to Vatican today.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost many people, include our relatives. Myself have lost a brother, a blood brother, and many people we have lost in the community.
I'm really sorry to hear that. And then for the people who have disappeared, from your experience, like in a country like Tanzania, where do they usually disappear? You don't know. Is it like prisons, or probably they just get killed and tortured?
And this is the very trending topic right now, because we don't trust police anymore. We have found out that police are the one who abduct people, who make people disappear. And at the first we thought maybe it's a small group of people, but no, it's police, because whatever the stories are interpreted about this disappearance and abduction, forced disappearance and abduction, it's found that they were going to police, or they are being summoned to police, and then from there they are being totally disappeared. Or some people give their testimonies saying some policemen introduced themselves and identified themselves as policemen, came to this house and they took this person with the handcuff, with the bullets and all that. So it's totally the environment, and this testimony tells it's exactly the police who are abducting and who are being disappearing people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Damn. So then in all of this, how did people help each other and stayed safe? For those of you who did survive, who were not obtained, who were able to stay safe, like you and other queer activists that both of us know, like we know, as you have said, the shops were closed, people had to stay inside and hide. Was there like a sense of helping each other? How did that work, maybe?
What's happening right now here in terms of sovereignty is all about reducing your profile, like leaving a low profile. We don't need to post a lot of things on social media. We don't need to communicate. You know, even the advocacy for marginalized and queer has been reduced in this time and all that. And instead of sharing compassion, we're calling each other. We help each other in terms of fans and all that, some small like money and all that. We send each other and all that. I'm telling you this, like, we have more than 100 people who have been charged for treason in Dar es Salaam. And most of these people are Gen Z and people who have been doing this online TikTok campaigns about the country, about the situation, the human rights situation, and all that. Even a simple challenge can make you being charged as a treason, being given a charge for treason. We have seen a lot of Gen Z influencers, including Nifa and others. More than 100 have been taken to court for treason charges, and now they are in the process of being prisoned for that charge. So in that threat and in that ongoing situation happening in Dar, most of the activists, including me, are being flying to other places where they can find themselves safe. Mm-hmm. So that's the only way we can create our own safety, as well as sharing compassion to others who are not too much louder or not too much showy, to make sure we greet each other, we help each other in terms of money, though it's really hard to find money out here, but we help each other in that way.
Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to ask you, like, for you personally, how do you stay safe? Because, dear listeners, like, Bajun has already been, like, not detained, but had to go to a safe house this year, actually, because of his activism regarding queer issues and gender minorities. So even before the protests, you know, a lot of things has been happening for years and years and years, as long as, like, you are a person who has a loud voice that is, like, contradicting what the government wants to do in the country. So, Bajun, I really want to ask you, like, how was that feeling when you, for example, even before the process, so this was, like, what was this, April, May, or when was this, when you had to run away to a safe house because of what you were doing? How does that process feel like? How does it look like? What do you do in that situation where you just have to run somewhere? And where do you run? And then how do you stay safe?
I went to hide in the safe house around June. Yes, it was June. I went to safe house outside Dar es Salaam. It is Dar es Salaam, but outside of the city, a little bit outside of the city, where I was having my hide there because the situation was really bad at the center of the city. And I didn't want any person to know where I am, because they were, like, coming to my home place, like, asking about me, like, hunting me everywhere. And then this is not just Bajun, so a lot of activists went through this. I tried to call my friend Soleya in Dodoma. It was the same scenario and the same story. Like, we have a lot of stories of queer activists who have been going through this. And we know that it was an organized attack against us. So that time after the, and if you look at this, every person counted on this organized attack. It was the team that we organized the Pride Month on June. So you can see it was crazy. It was really frustrated. And I was like, I have no hope, but at least I got a safe house in that time. And we just counted for 2 months until I ended my time in the safe house. I didn't get the confidence to get back to the street because it was just 2 months. Then waiting for 1 month, and then I just organized myself to Zanzibar because I thought maybe it could be, you know, it could be a bit more safer to me. So coming to Zanzibar, 1 month, and then the protest began.
Mm-hmm. And how was the situation regarding the protest then on the island, on Zanzibar?
Zanzibar was a bit quiet and peaceful, though some places showed some some unrest for those opposition areas, but not totally in where I was and where I am. It was really peaceful because it is CCM, the ruling party area. So at least where I am, it was kind of, but generally Zanzibar didn't show any kind of violence this time.
Mm-hmm. So this opposition that you mentioned, right? So is the opposition that Tanzania has really even an opposition? Like, do you ever feel like they are even an alternative to the current ruling party?
Yeah, we have the Chadema, Chama cha Demokrasia na Maendeleo, Chadema. This is the main opposition party, which is its chairperson and leader is on the charge for treason in the prison, and they are keeping, you know, suppressing it to not show be showy, because it is what many citizens like. Yeah, Chadema.
Mm-hmm. And how, what is like you as a queer activist, you know, you are a political being in that sense. How, like, how do you feel about the opposition? Like, is it even an opposition? Like, people who protest that are like, they very passionate about voting for the opposition, or does everybody realize that it is, you know, just an alternative that you have that is not really an alternative for, you know, marginalized communities?
Oh my God, I think this is very important to talk about. This opposition party is very inclusive, and it's openly inclusive, including the main opposition leader, Tundu Lissu, who is in the treason charge right now. He was openly talking about giving independence and freedom to queer people. And even the lawyers behind this party include Karume, Mama, is called, I don't know, but the name is called Karume. She has been very advocating for queer rights openly on the media. You can watch it on YouTube. So we can see there is a lot of hope from the queer and marginalized community, and even from the ordinary citizens. They really believe into this party, not just because it's the only option we have or alternative, but because it really reflects the demands and the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm. And what is happening now? So are people, because as we can see in Western media, you know, we have reported now on this, but as we talked about, you know, the killings were in much bigger scale, and then also a lot of other stuff is happening. So the media is not, you know, reporting on it as extensively as they maybe should. So especially after the process, right? So are people now still willing to continue the protests, or is it more a situation of being scared, leaving things be, like, from your knowledge? Do you feel like actual change is on the horizon or no?
First, we have the next bigger protest on 9th December, which is the second back turn back for the last process from the last protests. So we have on the 9th December, which is more bigger and organized, and thankfully that even Kenyan, the opposition parties in Kenya, has supported this, and they said they will also protest in support of Tanzania on the same date. And it is on the same date where we celebrate the freedom of Tanganyika, the last name for Tanzania. So it is a good day for us to protest and ask, demand for freedom, the real freedom. And, you know, we don't believe that we had elections. We don't believe it. It was full of corruption and theft. So we feel like the existing president and the cabinet introduced earlier today, and even the prime minister and every person, is not legitimate to be there. And we don't need, if there were the real and democratic elections.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. This protest on 9th of September, 9th of December, you said, how is this being planned, right? Is this like, again, the question we had about the recent protest, is this like something that's just happening, you know, from the street, from the underground, or how are you activists involved? What are you planning to do on the 9th of December? If you can answer like in a more long way, like about what will happen, what is there to expect?
So actually, right now, it's not just the citizens itself, and it's never been the citizens itself. It's even the human rights organizations. They have been giving guidance, and we are involved as part of the activists and human rights defenders, the human rights organization. We all come together on social media, and social media is the only thing here we can mobilize ourselves. So we come together, plan for it. We use a lot of Instagram and TikTok, you know. We use a lot of their platforms to amplify and to organize how it will be. Same like what happened last time. We did not organize everything. We did just few things, but the citizens imagined with new technique on the road and all that. So it was just on prompt, like they just had new ideas on the time where we had protest. So even this time, we believe that we will not give everything, include the ways where we will start the protest. Because if you say we will start from here, we will end from here, it means you give the direction for the police to, you know, to be there before time. So most of time, and even now, we don't give the direction that where the protest will begin or where the protest will end. Instead, we just tell people, like, stay on the road, the main road, go to the main road. We don't name the road, we don't name the place. We just say, go to the main road. That's the only way we can disrupt these policemen. And in terms of more organization, we actually increase visibility. For instance, now the Gen Z has decided to write a letter to Vatican to let the Vatican know that there is happening, what's happening and what will happen on 9th December. So the Vatican right now, as we speak, they know it. And right now, as we speak, the letter is also going to the White House of Tanzania, so the president know it, what she did, what she's doing, what she will be, what we expect she will do, and our demands, what we need exactly in the letter. So increasing visibility on the mainstream media that was happening, thankfully that the United Nations has recognized it, and we have amplified a lot, and we're still amplifying a lot. We have begun the petitions, you know, we have the online campaigns. A lot of things have been initiated to make sure that the organization, especially by this time, is becoming bigger and even more impactful for what we need and demand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 9th of December, do you expect a lot of violence to occur again? Probably, you know, the authorities will know that something is happening. So what do you expect?
What when we talk about violence, it's all about the authority. It's all about the government to do the violence to us. But we are peaceful all the time. We are peaceful.
Mm-hmm,
if we burn the public asset, is our asset as citizens, it's our tax. There's no problem of protesting and saying that we burn this for demanding this. But the thing is, they are violent because they kill citizens. They killed 1,000. The report says it's more than 10,000. You can see. So if this coming protest, they will kill more 10,000 is upon them, and it will ruin the whole status of their presidency. So I don't think so if this time they are going to be violent, but let's see. We stand and we do our part, and we keep doing more efforts to increase the visibility, because it's what stands out to us, and it makes us being protected, because if the world know how what's going on, it means we're being protective. They will be like going back doing violence to us. So thankful even for this radio show, you know, it's part of the visibility. And thank you so much, Anya, for speaking up for us, because we believe for every person listening to this, it contributes in one way or another to see what's happening and to make the authority step back doing violence to us.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a huge problem in Tanzania, right, about this being connected on the social media, because most of the country, the people who, you know, are really living very poor and disadvantaged lives, they do not have access to internet or sometimes even phone signal. So things that you do, and for example, your grassroots organizations and others, where you go to the field and explain to people, that is of huge importance. So how, like for the 9th of December, how, maybe if you could, like for the listeners who have never been in Dar es Salaam, for example, how would you explain these ways of communicating with people who are, you know, not included in the Instagram and TikTok and other different campaigns?
We had actually had flyers which were distributed always on the streets, and always even people were even encouraged to post them on the police stations, outside of police stations. So there are a lot of flyers going outside there. And for the people who doesn't have internet access, they can have flyers and read the information. But I'm telling you this, like, every person right now in the country, whether it's Gen Z or elder person, whatever, it is a trending topic right now on the streets that there is something happening. You know, when Gen Z decides something, so they will use the internet and go back to the street telling other people about what's happening, what's being planned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much, Bajun. Now, just for the last thing, I want to ask you about the future, right? So if everything goes according to plan, you will be coming to Slovenia in the beginning of next year to have some lectures and to make connections with our queer organizations and the community. So what do you see as a possible future for yourself and your community as a Tanzanian queer activist, also writer and also poet?
my future and my expectation in this is, I feel like visibility is very important for us. You know, in the movement, you didn't begin the movement yesterday. It has been many years ago, maybe decades ago. But in Tanzania, where the activism and advocacy and this movement are emerging right now rapidly, it's very important, like, we get support and solidarity from other nations which are more privileged, like Slovenia and others. So this visit to Slovenia, it is more than solidarity. It is more than support. It's more than exposure, because we are going to share knowledge. We are going to share techniques, ideas, how we can develop our movements, how we can develop advocacy and all that. So personally, it will give me exposure and getting leadership skills, understanding how other leaders are doing in movements and all that in terms of personal leadership and organizational leadership. But in community back to Tanzania, it's going to give them more more spirit of hard working in terms of advocacy, in terms of how can we do together, you know, solidarity, visibility, how can we be visible, how can we be productive, how can we be like, how can we achieve our goals and all that. So I think as we emerge as Gen Z and people who are emerging right now and being spotlight as people who are activists in this generation and who wants really real change happening right now in Tanzania, and by considering Tanzania is a very emerging country in terms of activism and queer activism, I think we really need this visibility and exposure from outside the countries.
Thank you so much, Bajun, and we hope to see you in physical form here very soon if everything goes to plan. Thank you so much again for advocating, for staying brave, for, you know, saying things that are wrong. For years and years you have been doing this, not just in the light of the protests and the things that are happening now, but in general. And also thank you for always, you know, standing for human rights, standing for the queer community of not just Tanzania, but queer communities of East Africa in general, who are extremely invisible and extremely marginalized in many ways. So if you want to add anything, like last words, I'll give you the opportunity
now. I'm just grateful and thankful to you personally, to the radio, every person who listened to this is more than grateful. We are more than grateful, because visibility is what we need, and you gave it to us.
V tokratnem subjektu meseca smo se pogovarjali z Omarjem Bajunom. Intervju sem opravila Enja.